This morning we're going to continue our sermon series. Stranger Things is the sermon series that we're working on right now. And the whole idea is that, being a Christian and walking with God is understanding sometimes there's some strange things that happen as you follow God. And actually the scriptures are filled with stories of people doing what you would think. If you're looking at them and not understanding God, you would think that's really strange. 2 weeks ago, Paul talked about the Apostle Paul and Silas, how they were in jail after they had been beaten and they were in chains and they're in the inner part of the jail and it's midnight and they're singing praises to God. I mean, that's just weird. It's just weird. That's strange. But they felt inspired by the Holy Spirit. God wanted them to do it. End of the story, you heard 2 weeks ago, an earthquake, and they all got set free, and the jailer gets saved, and when you're willing to obey God, even though it's strange, good stuff happens. Brian talked about last week, a Jewish prophet going to a Gentile single mom. It's just the craziest story. Asking her for her last meal. Can I have your last meal? I would like to be told to do that. You go to another city, go to this single mom's house. She only has food for one more meal. You take it from her. That's strange. It's just strange. But he did it. He went and did it. And God told the Gentile woman to give him that food. God blessed her, provided for her, taught Elijah that God would provide for him. Even Jesus in the New Testament tells the story of that Gentile woman, using her as an example that God was reaching beyond the Jewish nation. The Jewish people didn't like that, but he was trying to tell them the kingdom of God is bigger than you guys. Lots of stories. There's a great story of Peter. A number of stories where Peter was asked to do very strange things. But one of my favorites is when he fishes all night and he gets nothing. He comes into shore. Jesus is there. He's preaching. There's a large crowd. Jesus says, "Hey, can I use your boat?" Jesus is in his boat preaching all day. Peter's washing his nets out. He gets them all washed, folded up. He's ready to go to bed. Jesus said, "Hey, let's go fishing." Peter, you got to put yourself in these stories and thinking, there's Peter looking at him like, are you crazy? Jesus, he said, "I just fished all night. We caught nothing. This is not good fishing time. There's just nothing out there. I'm going to bed." Then he goes, "But nevertheless, I'll go do it." And he goes and does it, catches so many fish, the boat almost sinks. God really wanted to bless him, but sometimes you got to step outside that comfort zone. And the fact is, sometimes, God asks you to do things that are really strange. And there's always that moment of, are you in or are you not in? He may ask you, go talk to that person about Jesus, a total stranger. And you're going, oh, that's just weird. Yeah, but what if something's going to happen? Well, sometimes he may tell you to maybe give to a special offering. And you think, I just don't have enough. Well, maybe the Holy Spirit's pushing you. It's strange to think that he may tell you to go halfway around the world to another country to bless people you don't even know and you may never see again. This is our mission team just coming back from Vietnam. I mean, if you think about this, is strange stuff. He may ask you to pray for a stranger or somebody you just met and say, "Can I pray for you?" or "Can I pray for healing?" And these are moments where you have to admit that is just strange. He may ask you to, just go outside the box and maybe forgive somebody you don't even think needs to be forgiven. The kingdom of God is strange. You have to come to grips with this. It doesn't follow our system. God's ways are not our ways. It is a different kingdom. And the more we realize that, the better our chances of flowing with God and being a part of what he's doing. So there's another story. I'm thinking of Philip. Philip is in the book of Acts. He's one of these early disciples. He's up north in Israel. He's in the midst of a great revival. And God's Holy Spirit says to him, "Leave the revival, go south into the desert." Doesn't even explain himself why. Philip has to make a decision. Well, I'm right in the middle of a revival. There's people getting saved, people getting healed. Why do you want me to go to the desert? Doesn't get an answer, but he goes. Philip, so he goes. And he goes down to the desert, and he meets this Ethiopian eunuch. And the Ethiopian eunuch gets saved, a miraculous, wonderful conversion, and Philip moves on. And so there's this whole idea that God doesn't always explain himself. He doesn't sit down and say, "Now look, here's how it's all going to play out." Sometimes he just says, "Do this." And it's that moment where you say, "Am I in or am I not?" And it may be incredibly strange. So this morning I want to look at another story. It's the story of the nation of Israel when they went into the promised land, when they first crossed the Jordan, went into the promised land. The first city they encountered was Jericho. And God said to them, I'm going to give you a victory over Jericho, but, he said, you must destroy everything in the city except the gold, silver, bronze, and iron. I get all that. You destroy everything else. And we're going to read about that this morning and see how strange that really was, because that is really strange. So let's open our Bibles. If you have your Bible, we'll be reading in the book of Joshua, chapter 6, portions of 6, and I'll kind of jump around, but just want to kind of give you the story so you see it, and then we'll talk about what happened here. But it's the story of when they're going into the promised land, and the first city they encounter is Jericho. Down verse 17, chapter 6. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers. And you, by all means, keep yourself from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things and make a camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron, they're consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So destroy everything, everything. Only the gold, silver, bronze, iron goes into the temple of the Lord. So down you get into chapter 7. They attack the city. And chapter 7, verse 1, but the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things, for Achan took of the accursed things. So the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven on the east side of Bethel, spoke to them, go up and spy out the country. So the men went up and spied out Ai. So Joshua didn't know that Achan had taken something. They had just destroyed Jericho. He goes, okay, let's go get the next city. And the next city is a little tiny city, and there it's about 12,000 men, and Israel's army's in the hundreds of thousands. They come back and say, hey, look, we can take these guys, no problem. Just send up a small army, and we'll take them. Well, they go up, and they get defeated. 36 soldiers of the Israeli army get killed, and Joshua freaks out. Well, I thought we were going to gain victory every city, and he's totally shocked, and he goes to prayer, and he's praying. You get down to verse 10, so the Lord says to Joshua, get up. Why are you lying on your face? This is one of those great things where God says, stop your praying, man. Let's get this dealt with here. Israel has sinned. They have transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have taken some of the accursed things, and they have stolen and deceived, and they've put it among their own stuff. Oh, now Joshua's, okay, now I know what's going on. So he goes, find out who it is. So through some kind of supernatural way, we don't know, Joshua gathers all the people of Israel and singles out and finds out that it's Achan. You see down in verse 16, Joshua rose early in the morning. He brought Israel by their tribes. The tribe of Judah was taken. I don't know how he knew, but it was like everybody, 12 tribes there, and somehow the Holy Spirit said it's Judah. And he goes, okay, all 11 go home, Judah. And then he breaks down Judah, and he breaks it down again. And in verse 18, then he brought the household man by man, and Achan was caught. Verse 19, Joshua said, Achan, my son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel. Make confession to him. Tell me now, what have you done? Do not hide it from me. Achan answered Joshua, whoa, man, indeed I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I have done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted or desired them, and I took them. And they're hidden in the earth in the middle of my tent. The silver is under it. So Joshua sends messengers. They go get it. Down in verse 25, Joshua said, why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day. So all Israel stoned him with stones, burned them with fire after they had stoned them with the stones. His whole family got killed here. Then they raised over him a great heap of stones, still there to this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore, the name of that place is called the Valley of Achor to this day. And just two more verses, chapter 8. Then the Lord says to Joshua, don't be afraid nor dismayed. Take all the people of war with you. Arise, go up to that city of Ai. See, I've given it into your hand, the king of Ai, his people, his city, his land. Notice verse 2. This is the real interesting part of the whole story here. You shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king, only this time its spoil, its cattle, you shall take as a booty or a spoil. It's all yours. You can keep it. You can have it all. And then he tells them how they're to defeat the city of Ai. This is such an interesting story. Why do you think God said, destroy everything in Jericho, and then the very next chapter, you can have everything in Ai? Everything. You can have it all. You think there was anything different with the stuff in Jericho? Was there something unique about Jericho that wasn't found in Ai? No, they were the same city. They were only a few miles apart. There was nothing different about the stuff in Jericho, yet God said destroy everything in Jericho except the gold, silver, the metals. But Ai, you can have it all. I believe God was trying to teach them something, and I believe the truths that he's taught them are still true today. The first one is he was testing their obedience. He was testing their obedience. Here's the thing about obedience. This is so important. If you don't get this, you will struggle your entire Christian life. Revelation follows obedience. It does not precede it. It follows it. God will ask you to do something. It's not always strange, but sometimes when he asks you to do something, it may be strange. And he's not required to sit down and explain it all to us. Here's exactly what's going to happen. Here's how it's all going to play out. No. He's testing their obedience. And I believe before God can ever bless us in our lives, he has to get it clear who's in charge. It's a trust issue. It's just a trust issue. Do you trust him or don't you? He was testing their obedience. And I believe this is true in all of our lives. There are times where God asks us, are you in or aren't you? And if you are, will you do this for me? And he doesn't explain it. You go and do it. Now, he doesn't even have to give us revelation after the obedience. You can go ahead and do it and never find out. You do it unto God. But keep in mind, the revelation doesn't, very seldom does it ever precede the act of obedience. It almost always follows it. And so the first thing he was trying to teach them was obedience. Obey him. The second thing he was teaching them is this principle of first fruits. These are eternal principles that he established as they went into the promised land, the principle of first fruits. It's an eternal principle. First fruits means the first of everything gets given to God. And the New Testament as well as the Old Testament teaches if the first fruits are holy, everything that follows after is holy. That's why I'm passionate and I believe in the principle, the eternal principle of the tithe. I give my first unto God, that all might be blessed. It's just a principle. And he was teaching them, look, you go into Jericho, the first city is mine. Everything else is yours, but the first fruits are mine. And he was establishing the principle of first fruits, and I believe it's an eternal principle. But the third one, I think, is really interesting, because when Joshua asks Achan, why did you do this? Why did you do this? Achan says here in verse 21, he said, Joshua, when I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, a wedge of gold, I coveted them. I coveted them. See, I think there's something here about God wanting to break the power of covetousness. And here's the thing. This is a principle. If you can destroy it, it won't destroy you. This is what's going on here. Now, I don't think it was easy. I don't think Achan was the only one who was struggling that day. I think about this. If you were told that you're going to go in and you're going to destroy an entire city, let's just take Reynoldsburg or Pickerington. You think there's any wealth in Reynoldsburg? You think there's any wealth in Pickerington? Would you see things that you would look at and go, man, I have to destroy that? Let's take a look here. Maybe I've got some help, some visual aids for you here this morning. So you know, you go and you're destroying everything. You're destroying everything. I mean, you think you might find stuff that could be valuable, like maybe you might find, if you're in Pickering, you might find really a nice laptop, man. Should I really destroy that? You know, do I have to really wreck that thing? Or you know, maybe it's a painting, a Picasso painting, a Rembrandt or something. You know, I got to destroy that. Or a Gibson guitar. This is a mini. I couldn't get the Gibson guitar. You find some quality musical instruments here. A Stradivarius violin. It's in somebody's house. You have to destroy it. Oh, a pair of Oakley glasses here. Dang, man, I got to destroy that. I mean, come on. The jewelry. Ladies, what about the jewelry? All the jewelry had to be destroyed. All the diamonds, all the rubies. You know, pearls. Time to smash everything. How well would you guys do? How well would you guys do? Would you do it? Would you smash it? What he said, destroy it, it's cursed. Wasn't anything wrong with it. It's the same stuff that's in the other city. Anybody want to give it a try? Want to take a sledge to it? Stephen? You're the soldier in Israel. You're in Jericho. Here's the command. Stephen, you have to go into Jericho. Everything has to be broken, destroyed, vases, pitchers, musical instruments, nice clothes, everything except the gold, silver, bronze, and iron. There you go, my man. Put an end to it, all this beautiful stuff. Oh, man. Oh, I think you... Oh. Okay. Man, my Oakleys. Oh, Chip's going to kill me now. Sorry, Chip, I didn't really know that was glass. I thought it was plastic, you know. You wrecked that painting, Stephen. I don't know if you really wrecked that. Oh, yeah, you put a nice ding in that computer there. Darn, man. Too bad that wasn't a Mac or an Apple. That would, I would just... Yeah. Everything. What about that? Would you think that's strange? Would you have a little trouble with that? Yes. He didn't let them know that the next city, they were going to get to keep it all. All they knew was, do what I say. Because the truth is, if you can let it go, it doesn't own you. Now, I'm not sure God asks us to destroy things in our life, but I can tell you there are times in your life God wants to bless you, but before he will bless you, he will check and see if you can let it go. Because he will not give it to you because he's a loving father, just like you who are parents. You don't give stuff to your children if you know it's going to destroy them. We see clearly God was going to give them the spoil of all the cities. From then on, they got to keep everything. All the nice Babylonian garments, all the gold and the silver, all the stuff, everything they saw. Like, wow, you got to keep, it said the vineyards, the houses, they got to keep everything. But I tell you, if you can't let it go, it will destroy you. It will destroy you. I think sometimes you really got to search your heart and ask yourself, do you own it or does it own you? Does it own you? Why did Achan fail in that test? He said, because I coveted it. I coveted it. You know, we think of these tests against God. Oh. You probably didn't do this while I wasn't here for 2 weeks, right? Probably worked fine. 1, 2. Keep going, Chip, or get the other mic. So Achan coveted. And we don't think coveting is that bad, but look what it did. When you covet, it forces us to become impatient. And you begin making bad decisions. Like he saw this stuff and he wanted it. Covetousness distorted his mind and it made him become impatient. When you're covetous, you want it and you want it now. He couldn't wait. If he could just have waited, he could have gotten all that he wanted. It was only days later. But covetousness makes us blind, and you make bad decisions, But it doesn't only affect us, it affects all those around us, our family. In Achan's story, his whole family died. But what about us, though? Are there things that maybe we've become impatient and we wanted right away? I mean, think of all the stuff that goes on in people's lives. So often at the root of it is this covetous spirit. It's this impatience, wanting it now. You know, unmarried people wanting to have sexual relations outside of marriage. I can't wait. Well, wait a minute, man. God wants to bless you. It's not that God doesn't want to bless you, but you have to do it His way. Young married couples, they get married and they see everybody's got new furniture and nice car and going on vacation. They start running up their credit card. I believe often at the root of that is covetousness. It's this thinking that God doesn't want to bless me. You know, that's at the root of the very first sin that was committed in the Garden of Eden. You realize that when the devil tempted Eve, what he was saying to Eve is, Eve, God is holding out on you. You go ahead and eat this fruit, you'll become stuff that he didn't want you to be. God's trying to rip you off. And so she falls into that trap, and so does Adam. But that's the same thing. If you don't believe God wants to bless you, if you don't have that ingrained in you, then you start trying to take things yourself, and you get outside of the will of God, and there's no blessing. Even if you get it, you can't enjoy it. I mean, that's the ultimate ripoff. You finally get it, but there's just no joy there. There's no sense of fulfillment. You know, over the years, we haven't done this in quite a while, but over the years, we've had people come to me and say, you know, I need to get rid of some stuff out of my life. It shouldn't be there. It's controlling me, and I'm not controlling it. And over the years, I've told them, you know, bring it to church, man. We'll take care of it for you. We'll end that. And we've shot TVs out back, and we've smashed furniture and jewelry up on the stage. And you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking there's some of you here that have got to get some stuff out of your life. I'm just challenging you. You know, maybe it's your computer. You know, maybe your computer's controlling you, or maybe it's a hobby that's controlling you. Here's the deal. You don't want to live like Achan. God wants a blessing. There's stuff in your life that maybe you got before you should. Maybe you shouldn't have it. Maybe it's not healthy for you right now. You know, maybe it's okay for somebody else to have it, but maybe in this time of your life, you need to get it out. I say, let's get rid of it. I say, bring it to church next week, and we will take care of it. We will end it. Let's stand up. Woo! Woo-hoo. I'm shaking just a little. Okay. Well, God, I pray that we would understand some of these spiritual principles that you established from the very beginning, God. The idea of obeying you, whether we understand or not. Just obedience. The principle of first fruits, God. God, that if there's covetousness in our hearts, that you would reveal it to us, that we might break its hold over our lives so that you can bless us materially, God. You want our lives to be blessed, but sometimes, God, we don't want to wait. And Holy Spirit, I just ask this morning, if there's people here that have got things in their lives that they need to get rid of, God, whatever it is, reveal it to them. God, and if we need to destroy it, put it on their hearts, let them bring it here next Sunday, God, and we will destroy it. We'll do it unto you, God. that you might bring freedom. He's dying slow there, boys. I'm really slow here. That might help it a little. So let's just take a minute here. I'm just challenging you. There's some of you here that God wants to bless abundantly, man, abundantly. But you need to do it His way. You need to do it His way. I just ask, Holy Spirit, you just move among us that we would begin to get this revelation, how much you care for us as a father, that you want to bless us, God. Help us from getting ahead of you and trying to take things into our own time and our own hands, God. Help us to submit our lives to you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And let's have our ushers come up. We'll take our offering. I just sense the presence of the Lord here right now. And I know I'm just getting this sense that that song we just sang is our prayer. But I feel like God wants to pour out a blessing on us. On us as a church and on us individually. He wants to pour out a blessing, but I just get this sense He's asking, are you in? Are you in? 100%. He'll give it to us if we can handle it, but if we're only partially in, if we're halfway committed, if we're kind of going to follow Him, it's not going to happen. And I just sense today, God's speaking to you. He's asking you, are you in 100%, all the way, all the way, all the way? Are you willing to do what He asks, whatever it is? Are you going to obey Him? Holy Spirit, I just welcome your presence here right now. God, we want what you want. Nothing more, nothing less. But I know, God, you're calling us out. No games. No halfway. I just sense the Spirit of God is asking for commitment. Recommitment. Are there some of you here today that the Spirit of God is just speaking to your heart about making the decision to say, I'm all in. I want to surrender my life 100%. I want to be a follower of God. Now, you're here today not because you just showed up. I believe God brought you here for this service in this building that He might speak to you. And if you're sensing something in your heart and the Holy Spirit's stirring, and maybe it's that call for that commitment. Are you ready to make a commitment? Maybe as a younger person you made that decision, but you know today you strayed, and you're here today because the Holy Spirit is calling you to get in 100%. I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit to give you the ability to recognize when God's stirring. And if He's calling you this morning, I'm going to ask you, just raise your hand that we might pray with you and be a part of that decision. That you begin to understand that God wants to bless you, but He does ask first. There's a guy with his hand up already. Man. Good for you. Let's just pray here. Father, if there's others, you just feel the Holy Spirit tugging at your heart, just hold your hand up. We want to pray for you. We want to dedicate your life 100%, rededicate your life. Just hold your hand up right where you're at. All the way over here, and all the way in the back here. Anybody else? Just hold your hand up over here, yeah? Come on. You feel something stirring in your heart. That's the Holy Spirit. It's God trying to help you and you make a decision. Put your hand up. I'm ready to make the decision. Come on up. All the way. All the way. 100%. Anybody else? Over here, there's a couple of hands over here. If you're standing by these people, get by these people that are raising their hands. Over here, all the way over here on the right. Stand with some of these people right over here, yep. anybody else. Come on. Doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for a while. If you're feeling the Holy Spirit speaking to you this morning, it's time to jump in. You want the fullness of God, He will give it to you. But just like with the people of Jericho, He's asking first. He just wants to make sure you can handle it. Are you in? Anybody else? Anybody else? Hold your hand up. We're going to pray with you. Going to pray a rededication, simple prayer, but I believe with all my heart, you pray this from your heart, God is going to honor you. Things that you need to let go of. Maybe there's just something you're holding on to that's holding you back, and if I'm speaking to you, let it go. Let it go. It doesn't have life if it's not from God. Let's just pray this together. Jesus, I surrender my life to you right now. 100% right now. I put my life in your hands. God, if there's anything that's between you and me, I give it up today. I want what you want for my life. Please forgive me of all my sins. Like he told the children of Israel, you can have it all in the next city now. Pour it out on them, God. Pour it out on them, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you, man. Bless every one of you that raised your hand. And let us know. Let us know how it goes. And if, man, yeah, amen. Amen. And like I said earlier, if there's some stuff going on you need to get rid of, you know, bring it to church next Sunday. I mean, not like this is the only way to do it, but if you want to do that, we want to be a part of it with you. If there's something going on, go all the way, man. Go all the way. Don't hold back. All right, we're going to close with a song. We have our prayer team up front here. If you have some other special needs, or if you're one of the people that raised your hand, you just like some personal prayer. I did get a sense there's somebody struggling with swallowing. So somebody here today struggling with some swallowing, like your throat, just having a real hard time with swallowing. Anybody? Anybody here this morning dealing with that? Well, anyway, if there is, if you need some prayer for that, if you need some prayer for some physical healing in your life, some things you'd like some personal ministry with, we'll be up here. Be glad to pray with you. We'll close with our song.
To you, I was made. was made by you. I was made for you. I am unfulfilled without full communion. Since your love got a hold of me, since your love's got a hold of me, I'm a new creation, I'm forever changed. Since your love's got a hold of me, since your love's got a hold of me, I'm a new creation, I'm forever changed. Since your love's got a hold of me, since your love's got a hold of me, I'm a new creation, I'm forever changed. Since your love's got a hold on me, since your love's got a hold on me, I'm a new creation, I'm forever changed. I was made by you.
This morning, we thank everyone for being here. We bless you. We love you. Can't wait to see you again next week. Have a blessed week.